The reading of Parsha 4 coincides with the reading of Vayakel Kodesh. This is only a coincidence. However, there is an affinity between the motive of Vayakel Kodesh and the motive of Parsha 4. Vayakel Kodesh deal with the construction of the Mishkan. Vayakel Kodesh are not the only two sedras that deal with the Mishkan. There are in the Torah several sedras dealing with the construction of the Mishkan. Namely, Trumo, Titzave, part of Kisiso, Vayakel and Kodesh. Find that the Parsha of Kisiso commences with the Mishkan theme, and then the Torah proceeds with the discussion of the Shabbos theme. Then it is interrupted by a discussion of the episode of the golden calf, and then Vayakel, the Torah again commences with the discussion with the Shabbos theme, and then again with the Mishkan theme. Apparently, there is an affinity between Mishkan and Shabbos. From the juxtaposition of these two parshas, Mishkan and Shabbos, the Chazal deduced the halacha that the classification of the various types of work forbidden on Shabbos are identical with those types of work that prevailed in connection with the construction of the Mishkan. It would be advisable to delve into the logical connection that there is between Mishkan and Shabbos. Why does the Halacha declare that those types of work that prevailed in connection with the construction of the Mishkan are to be considered melachos, and those types of work that did not prevail in connection with the construction of the Mishkan are not to be considered as melachos? Now, we find that the Torah itself mentions, in connection with Shabbos, two separate motives. In the first Dibris, in Parsha Yisrei, the Torah mentions for the commandment of Shabbos the motive of the creation of the world. Zocher etim haShabbos likachei, sheishes yomim ta'avit, ve'yotziso kol melachtecho, ve'yim ha'shvi Shabbos v'adishem olekecho, lo'isasecho melocho, ato uvincho uvitecho, avdicho v'amoscho uvemtecho, v'geyucha shebesharecho. Why? Why is work forbidden on Shabbos? Kisheishes yomi motzo adishem es shamayim ves oretz, es hayom ves kol ha-shabom, vayon ha-abayim ha-shvi al-kim birach adishem es yimashav yikachi. The reason as to why we are forbidden to do work on Shabbos is because in 6 days Hashem created the world, and on the seventh day He rested. Consequently, God hallowed the Shabbos and blessed it. So that the motive mentioned is the motive of the creation of the world. In the Dibreis Achreinis, the Torah mentions another motive for the observance of Shabbos. Shomei Rechim HaShabbos Likachei Kasher Tifcha Dishem Olechecho Sheishes Yomim Tavid Vosiso Kol Melachtecho Ve'im HaShvi Shabbos Fadishem Olechecho לא יסעתך מלאכו, אתה ובינך וביצך ואהבתך ומשך ושיך וחמך וכל בהמתך וגיך אשר בשורך למען ינוע אהבתך ועמוס וקומך. Why? Thor doesn't mention here the creation of the world. וזוכרתו כעבד או יינו בארץ מצרים ויציאךו עד השם הלכך משום ביות חזוקו ובזרי הניטויו על כי צבחו עד השם הלכך ועד משבס. Why do you have to observe Shabbos? Because the Israelites were slaves in Egypt and God delivered them out of Egypt. Consequently, God commanded them to observe the Shabbos. So Shabbos has two motives. The motive of Maaseh Bereishis and also Zecher LeYetziat Yitzchak. We mentioned both motives in the Kiddush. What is the connection between Shabbos and Yetziat Yitzchak? We know that Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot are based upon the episode of Yetziat Yitzchak. But Shabbos does not seem to have any connection with Yetziat Yitzchak. Shabbos seems to be based exclusively upon the event of creation. Now, I mentioned, not this year, but last year, I mentioned that creation in the Torah is designated by two separate terms. One term applied to the concept of creation is Bria. The other term applied to the concept of creation is Yetzirah. If we want to translate the two terms Bria and Yetzirah literally and accurately, then Bria should be translated in English into the term of creation and Yetzirah should be translated into the term of formation, because Yetzirah is derived from the term Yotzeir Tzura. Now, Bria, the Ibn Ezra says, really means to destroy. Seili Ayaro Ubroli Eitzi Misham. So that means, Bro means tear down, decrease. So creation, Bria, means destruction. Yitzhiro comes from the term Tzuro. Now the Rambam explains it, that everything consists of Gelom and Tzuro, of matter and form. Now Yitzhiro is the thing whereby a thing is what it is. Now, what is the Tzuro of the watch? The fact that it tells the time. Now a toy watch has the same day on. The same body, but it doesn't tell time. So it's a chimer below it. A watch that stopped is like a chimer below it. Now, the term Bria is applied to creation. Why? Because any act of creation is unavoidably coupled with an act of destruction. The more that man progresses in science and technology, the more he becomes a creator in his own way, and the more he becomes a destroyer. 100 years ago, science did not involve so much destruction as scientific progress involves today, because 100 years ago science and technology have not attained the degree of creation. Now, according to our sages, so there are prior worlds. Created numerous worlds before this world of ours came into being. But these worlds do not exist. for creation must necessarily be accompanied by a process of destruction. It is only this world of ours, the world in the shape that it exists, that was destined to survive. Why? Because when God created the world in the present shape, so then Hashem coupled the process of creation with the process of Yetzirah. This world of ours is based upon the principle of causation. The principle of causation is reflective of the Yetzirah that inheres in the world. Everything was created v'sheishes mibreishes, but we still say amichadish b'tuvei b'chol yein tomid ma'aseh v'reishes. How can that be reconciled with the pasuk of Vaychulu Hashamayim v'Oretz v'chol tvom Vaychal ha'mekim v'yim ha'shvim l'achtei mikol ha'shot v'yim v'yim ha'shvim mikol l'achtei ha'shot, which implies that God, that the process of creation terminated at the end of Sheishes Yimei Bereishis. So how can the process of creation be renewed all the time? The answer is the pasuk of Vaychal ha'mekim v'yim ha'shvim mikol l'achtei ha'shoso has reference to the process of creation that terminated at the end of Sheishes Yimei Bereishis. But every object in nature has its form. Every tree is able to reproduce its kind. Every species is able to reproduce its kind. This also involves a certain form of creation, but this is the form of creation that is designated by the term of Yetzirah. There is no, when one tree produces another tree, when one living thing reproduces, then there is no element of destruction involved. Everything remains the same, and still it is recreated. This is through the process of Yetzirah, by the potential that inheres in nature to assert itself and to perfect itself. Now, we say in the Musaf of Shabbos Rish Chedesh, Ato Yotzarto Elom Chom Mikedem. At first blush it seems that it should have been written Ato Yotzarto Elom Chom Beikedem, not Mikedem. Mikedem means since Kedem, that it's a continuous process. But Beikedem would mean that Hashem created the world some time ago. The answer is, if it had been written Ato Boroso Elom Chom, then it would have been followed by the term of Beikere. But it is written not Boroso, but Yitzarto. Yitzarto is Mikere, because Yitzire never ceases. Yitzire continues, not only in respect to living things, where each species can reproduce its kind, but even in respect to the inanimate world, the inorganic world, by virtue of the principle of causation that inheres in the world, by virtue of the numerous laws that operate within the cosmos. This represents the process of Yetzirah, the process of formation, of the assertion of nature. Now, the previous worlds involved only a process of Bria. There was no process of Yetzirah. There was no principle of causation inhering in the previous world. There are no laws of nature. This world of ours was molded in accordance with certain laws which manifest the will of God. This is the principle of causation. This makes the world into a cosmos, into one world, into a world that constantly recreates itself. Into Mechadish V'tuvei, behold your intomid, Ma'aseh V'reishis. This is the process of Yetzirah. At the end of Sheishes Yimei Bereishis, the process of Bria terminated. But the process of Yetzirah commenced. Before Sheishes Himitreishis, there was Bria, but there was no Yetzirah. At Sheishes Himitreishis, the process of Yetzirah commenced, and it constantly continues. Hamachadish b'tuvei b'cholim tomid ma'aser reishis, ator yotarto oylomcho mikedem. So Shabbos is dedicated not only to the concept of Brio that terminated at the end of Sheishes Himitreishis, but it is also dedicated to the concept of Yetzirah which commenced at the end of Sheishes Himitreishis. Now, that I've also mentioned several times in regard to the expression Asher Boro Elokim La'atos. Why La'atos? The Chizkuni and the Venezra say that it means that when Hashem created the world and when he created men, he created the world and men in an imperfect form, so that men should be able to become a partner with God in the perfection of the world, in the process of Yetzirah, and in the process of Bria. Not only did Hashem create the world in a form that is not completely formed, but Hashem created the world in a form that is not completely created. There are various forces of destruction that rage within nature. To the extent that there are various forces of destruction, the world has not been created as yet. To the extent that there is cancer inflicting the human organism, the human organism has not been created completely. And it is the task of man to perfect the world and to perfect himself on a physical level and finally upon a spiritual level. Now, Shabbos, on Shabbos, it is forbidden to do work. What is work? 39 types of labor. And if we were to delve into the character of these Lamed Tes types of work, then we'll readily be able to see that with the exception of one melacha, we saw all the other 38 types of work represent acts which are coupled with destruction. Even though Mikalkei is Potter and Shabbos, he has to be Misakein, but in order to be a Misakein, it does not mean that it should not involve any destruction. Misakein only means that the purpose should be in order to perfect. But even though the purpose is to perfect, to improve, there is still an element of destruction present. When somebody sows, when somebody plants, when somebody harvests, when somebody mills wheat into flour, when someone cooks, when he bakes, when he sews the garment, or when he tears down a building, I'm not windows, when someone slaughters, Nikolas Nishono, there is an element of destruction present. There is the element of Bria. And the Torah forbade the Jews to do the Lamed Tes Melachos on Shabbos. Why? Because the task of man is La'atos. La'atos means that man is to perfect himself and to perfect world, the world. How is the world to be perfected? Sometimes through an act of Bria, but primarily through the act of Yetzirah. Now men can be a Beira and men can be a Yetzer. Let us take examples of men as a Beira and men as a Yetzer on a physical level. when a doctor amputates the leg of a patient because of gangrene poisoning, it has to be done. And it fulfills a definite function. But then the doctor is not in the prine of the Eitzeya. He's in the prine of the Bere. He destroys. He has to destroy. When a criminal is executed, even when he's executed by the Sanhedrin, it is kidding, in accordance with the law. But then the Sanhedrin are in the prine of Bere. They destroy. It has to be done. But when a doctor injects a child against polio, then he's in the prina of Yetzer. There is no destruction. Nothing changes, nothing is destroyed. But he enables the organism to become immune against a certain disease. Now, science today is primarily dedicated to the concept of brio. Man is not concerned so much with Yetzer. That is the tragedy of the modern age. Now, Hashem bestowed upon men the task of becoming a partner with Hashem. In both realms, in the realm of Bria and the realm of Yetzer, but primarily in the realm of Yetzer. It is man's task to integrate his creative powers with the powers of Yetzer, of formation, and thereby to perfect the world and to perfect himself. And that is the concept towards which Shabbat is dedicated. Vayvorech Elokim et Yoyim Hashvi Vaytachem. God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. What does it mean? He blessed the seventh day. Now, when a human being is blessed, it means that a wish is expressed that he should do well. So we can understand that in respect to a human being. But how can it be conceived in respect to time? What does it mean, time was blessed? Now, what does blessed mean? Bishop. Bishop means dedication. Dedication to all. Dedication to God. Now, on a spiritual level, how is a human being to realize his potential, his soul? By asserting the Tzelem Elokim that is within him. And as I mentioned once already, in order to assert the Tzelem Elokim, he must realize his own image. He must be an individual, a free agent, and he must be unique, because every person can be unique in his own way. A human being is not a mere member of a species. There is a function that every human being, poor or rich, Jew or non-Jew, can perform. This is Vayivor Elokim es Odom b'Tzalmei b'Tzalem Elokim bo, he say. First he has to assert his own Tzalem, and then he'll be able to assert the Tzalem Elokim that is within him. That is in line with the concept of Yetzer. And Shabbos is called the Mikra Kodesh. Why? Because the Jews are to dedicate themselves to the concept of Yetzer. Of asserting their own image. So, Gedusha means that Hashem sanctified the Sabbath day by dedicating the Shabbos to the concept of Yetzer. How will the Shabbos be dedicated to the concept of Yetzer? By the Jews observing the Shabbos as a mikotesh. Then the Shabbos will be sanctified. This is the meaning of Vaytacheu. What is the meaning of Alvorech Elokim et Yoyim Hashvi? He blessed Now, whenever the term blessed thing is mentioned in the Torah, it means that it should be treated as a symbol for something else. Now we find in Vayechi that when Yaakov blessed the children of Yosef, so he said, Yaakov blessed Ephraim and Manasseh by declaring them as symbols of blessing in the future generations, so that whenever a father will bless the child, he'll say, thou shalt be like Ephraim and Manasseh. So bracha means when you declare someone as a symbol of blessing, as an example, when you set aside someone or something as an example to others. So, Vayvorech Elokim Eshem Ashvi Vaykacheyu means that Hashem not only dedicated the Sabbath day as a Mikra Kedesh day, as a day dedicated to the concept of Yitzirah, but that He set aside the Shabbos day as an example to others, weak others, as an example to the other days. Now, the purpose of the Shabbos is not that a Jew should deport himself in accordance with the concepts of sanctity and nobility and magnanimity of character on Shabbos, but that the Shabbos should be mashpia on the other days of the week. Now this is the meaning of the Maimah Chazal that even the Gemim rests on Shabbos. Why? Because in the course of the week, when man is occupied in the endeavor towards making a living, then it is unavoidable that he should be nichshel in many things. So when the Shabbos comes, so the Jew is able to detach himself from all the profanity that is linked with life. And he takes a pause, and then the Gemim rests. And because of the pause that he takes on Shabbos, so his behavior, his demeanor in the course of the following week is changed. So, the Torah forbade the Jews to do Lamedches Melachot on Shabbat because all these Lamedches Melachot, Yitzoyah being an exception, because Yitzoyah does not involve any act of destruction. It merely involves the carrying over of an object in one place into another. There is no change, there is no creation. But with the exception of Yitzoyah, which is considered by the Rishonim as a Melachah Gevura, and to be in a special category, all the other Melachot represent the concept of Briah, of destruction, and that is forbidden on Shabbos. Why? Because a Jew is to dedicate himself primarily to the concept of Yitzhak. He is not to destroy. And this commandment includes a prohibition against the execution against any punishment, even the punishment of Malchus. Why? Because Malchus punishment represents an act of creation. There is destruction involved in punishment, and on Shabbos there is to be no destruction. It is to be dedicated completely to Yitzhak. Now in the Mishkan, in the construction of the Mishkan, so Bezalel resorted to various types of words. It is true that the purpose of the Mishkan was that it served as a sanctuary for the Jewish people. But in order to construct the Mishkan, so Bezalel had to do various types of work. He had to to destroy and to mold and to change raw materials from one form into another. This all represented creation. But the purpose of all these 39 types of work that were involved in the construction of the Mishkan was that the Mishkan, when finished, should be the example of an edifice of Yitzhak. True, it is true that the Talmud resorted to prayer, but the purpose was that it inspired the Jewish people toward the concept of Yitzhak. Now we find at the end of today, כחיו אשר ציבו עד השמס מישה, כנוסו בני ישראל לסכול הרידו. ויהר מישה סכול המלוכו ויני יוסו איסו, כאשר ציבו עד השם, כנוסו, ויבורך איסו מישה. So first it is mentioned that the Israelites did the whole Avedo in accordance with the commandments of God. And then Moshe made the observation that the Israelites did the whole melacha in accordance with the commandment of God. Why this apparent repetition? Isn't it the same thing, the Avedo and the melacha? But the answer is that there is a distinction between Avedo and melacha. Avedo represents the act of creation that was involved in the construction of the Mishkan. The various types of work that were performed, that included destruction. But Milocha really has reference to an act of Yitzhak. Now Milocha means an artistic piece of work, as distinguished from a Veda. When an artist creates a piece of work, then he injects his personality into the piece of work. He asserts himself. The purpose of all the work of the Rametes Melochet that was involved in the Asiyas HaMishkan was to construct an edifice that would be symbolic of the whole concept of Yitzhak, of Ashkol HaShchina. So Moshe beheld two things. First of all, he beheld that the work, the act of creation, was in accordance with all the specifications of God. But then he also beheld that it complied fully in accordance with the concept of Yitzhak. That Bezalel and the rest of the Israelites who cooperated with Bezalel in the construction of the Mishkan actually injected their personalities into the Mishkan. And the Mishkan exemplified the pattern of the home that every Jew was to erect in his own private life. Now Chazal say, in regard to the Pasuk, V'yosu l'migdash v'shachamti b'seichom, V'shachamti b'seichoy l'neema, Elo b'seichom, B'leiv kolecha z'echo. The purpose of the Mishkan is that it should serve as an example for every Jewish home. That represented the concept of Yitziro, of Melocho. And this was in the Yosu Eiso, Kasha Tziva Adishem Kinosu, V'yvorach Yisomish. At the end of the Kurei, it is mentioned, Vayokem es achotzer sorif lamishkom v'lamizbeach, vayitin es mosach shah achotzer, vaychal Moshe es hamloch. Vaychatzer ono neseyomeid, uchvid al shem olay es hamishkom. So the Mishkan was not complete until the glory of God filled out the Mishkan. Because it is only then that the concept of Priya was integrated with the concept of Yitzhak. And then the task was completed. Now we understand the affinity that there is between Mishkan and Shabbos. Because both the Mishkan and Shabbos are dedicated to the same concept. Namely, that the task of man is to be a partner with Hashem. But man is able to assert his own Tzelem only if he integrates the concept of Bria with the concept of Yitzhak. And by realizing that Yitzhak is the more important concept of the two. Now, we can understand the connection that there is between the theme of Paul and the theme of Ayakel Pkudi. Now, the Parsha of Parah Adumo is considered by the Chazal as the classic example of the inexplicability of the Torah. The commandment of Parah Adumo is not the only commandment that the human mind cannot understand. There are many laws in the Torah which we cannot understand, but Parah Adumo is unique in its character as a statute, as a chukah, in that it manifests contradictory qualities, in that it is mitamei es hatoeir, and it is mitayir es hatom. Chazal say in respect to Parah Adumo that Umisayilom v'yetzer hara mishivin olam. When Chazal say Umisayilom, they mean the intellectual element among the Umisayilom. The Parsha of Parah Adumo teaches us the limitations that man is to impose upon the application of reason. It is true that intelligence is the noblest gift that I can be. As the first one in our expression of gratitude towards God. After he was in that, the one made learning, you know. Without intelligence, man is not distinguishable from animal. But with all his potential, he's still in it. More than his physical animal, than other physical animal. But Hashayu Miyat Mi Elohim. Elohim here is Choyo. It means a superior being. So we say that God created man as something as a little short of a superior being. What does that mean, a little short of a superior being? Because men can only assert his own image. He can comply with the task of Yisirah that is incumbent upon man if he realizes that there is always between the goal and the power. It is true that man has to aspire to be an Elohim, to be a superior being. But man needs to realize that he can only aspire toward the Elohim, toward the superior being, but he'll always be short of the superior being. He'll always remain and yat me on him. A man is not to sink into any feeling of inferiority on account of the fact that he'll always remain short of his superior being. On the contrary, men will attain the pinnacle of greatness if he realizes that he'll always fail of the goal. He'll always remain short of the goal. He'll always flunk. If men think that he cannot fail, then he misses the theme of God of the parasha of Paradum. It is only a man who is arrogant that can think that he can reach the goal. He can be an Elohim. He can be a superior being. Now the greatness of men, says David, consists in the fact that Hashem made him into what Hatzreyu Me'at Me'alim. The always being short of the goal that makes men great. Now, in the parasha of Adumo, so the Torah tells us along with the Sreifa Saporo, so the Kayan has to throw in an Itzeres, which is the symbol of strength, of greatness, and also an Aziz, which symbolizes the antithesis of Itzeres. Aziz being a hyssop grass, something very soft and fragile. Man needs to know that on one hand he is like an Eitzahez, and on the other he is like an Eziv in the Shnisulah. On one hand he is to aspire towards an Eitzahez, but on the other, he is to realize that he'll always remain an easy finishness. No matter how great man is, no matter what his IQ is, no matter what his success is, no matter what his power is, but he always has to realize that he is limited. Now we call a retarded child a child that has an IQ of 70. But the difference between a child with an IQ of 70 and a child with an IQ of 170 is only a question of degree. We are all retarded children. All of us. We are all limited. And even if one has a mind of Einstein, he's a retarded child. And this is the only way whereby men can curb his arrogance and his presumptuousness, by realizing that man is limited. This is something that the Sotomu Mesairom Amiharir. Why? Because man is inclined to believe, and especially modern men, that with the use of his intelligence and empiricism, if he's given sufficient time and application, he can explore all the mysteries of the world. Modern man thinks in his presumptuousness, thinks that there is nothing that is hidden from him. It is within the potential of man to understand everything. So for this reason, the Torah tells us, V'loka hakeim yitzeres v'yezei v'shnisla. True, man is to aspire towards understanding, But he should realize that he'll always remain short of the goal. And on the contrary, the more he understands of nature, the more he will become mystified, the more he should be mystified by the laws of nature. The more he aspires towards becoming a Meitzeres, the more he should become aware of his being an easy Fushnisla. A man has to be cognizant of the Vafratrasreyu, Miyat Mirim, not just Vafratrasreyu. On one hand, he has to aspire to an extraordinary, to a superior being. But he should always realize that he's always short. And the more he aspires to Elohim, the more the chasm between his actuality and the goal. Now, this, only in this way can men assert his own form. Only in this way can men assert the concept of Yitzhak. Now, it is only logical that if the Parasha of Por Adumo advises us the limitation and retardedness of men's intelligence, that this limitation of men's intelligence is to manifest itself in the various categories of men's intelligence. I mentioned about 2 weeks ago that modern psychology divides intelligence into three main categories. It can be divided into, some divided into 7 categories, but it is divided into 3 fundamental categories: into the category of cognitive intelligence, into the category of collate intelligence, and in the category of affective intelligence. Now, man is to realize that he is limited and retarded in all these 3 categories. Now, in the realm of cognitive intelligence, now science stems primarily from cognitive intelligence. So, men can attain great heights, and it is the task of men to discover the laws of nature through empiricism and deduction. But I mentioned last year that wisdom, science, is compared to a sister. Emeya lachochmo achoisiat. What does it mean, emeya lachochmo achoisiat? Now, we all know that a brother entertains great love toward a sister. But a brother, with all the love that he entertains toward a sister, he still cannot come too close to a sister. A brother can never marry a sister. If a brother marries a sister, then the marriage is incestuous, and the offspring is illegitimate. Man is to make use of reason. Man is to make use of science, of empiricism and to deduction. Because Hashem endowed men with 2 attributes of coming to Hodor Teatreyu. Hodor is the attribute whereby man distinguishes between that which is beautiful and that which is not beautiful, that which is orderly and that which is chaotic, that which is harmonious and that which is disorderly. So through the attribute of Hodor, man is able to make progress in science and technology, to discover the laws of nature, and to establish harmony in the world. Man is to profess love toward science, but at the same time, man has to feel that his cognitive intelligence is limited. Achoisia, you're my sister. One cannot get married to science. If he gets married to science, if he thinks that by his cognitive intelligence he can understand everything, and if he refuses to recognize and acknowledge that which cannot be observed and perceived through the cognitive intelligence, then he's bound to become a scoundrel. And the fruit of his endeavor will be illegitimate. And this is the tragedy of the modern age. The tragedy of the modern age does not consist in the fact that modern people dedicate themselves to science, but it consists in the fact that modern people decided to identify themselves with science. To acknowledge only that which can empirically be ascertained. And consequently, we all have to suffer from the illegitimate fruit of the modern age. So what should be the attitude of men toward science? So the Gemara in Yergiga tells us, in reference to the prophet, Ki shalno liyomim rishenim, limiayim ashabor arakim, mitzei oret vatzei oret. Mitzei oret vatzei oret atashei ovedereish. Vi atashei ovedereish malifonim umalioche. Malimailo malimato, malifonim umalioche. This is the extent of men's limitation in the realm of cognitive intelligence. Namely, that he is to apply the empirical approach only to that which is in the realm of nature. But he is not to apply his cognitive intelligence into the realm of metaphysics, into the realm of malemailo, malemato, malifonim, malemocher. He is not to apply his cognitive intelligence into the transcendental realm. But then, man is to realize that he is also limited in the realm of collate intelligence. Collate intelligence is that category of intelligence whereby man correlates one thing with another, one object with another object, one event with another event. Is the category of intelligence that is to be applied in an historical level, in the realm of history. It's not through cognitive intelligence that we can understand history, but through collective intelligence. And the goal towards an understanding of historical events, on the contrary, the Torah tells us, Chayyim may say long, Bishnu is there there. We have to understand the events of the world, the events that take place in every generation. To correlate one event with another. Many to correlate what happens today with what happened 20 years ago. Not only is it to correlate the events that happened today with the events that happened 20 years ago, he is even, and perhaps even more so sometimes, to correlate the events of today with the events of 2,000 years ago. Here you may say, and that can be done only through the application of collate intelligence. But in this realm too, man is very limited. And he's even more limited than the realm of nature, than the realm of science. And the Torah in Kisisa expresses very poignantly the limits that are to be imposed upon the application of collate intelligence on the historical earth, in the realm of history. Now we remember that when Moshe said to God, Harini no efkodecho, show me thy glory, so God answered him, Lo yuchal, ki lo yirani odom v'choy. And then God said, Lo yisuchal lirei sesponai ki lo yirani odom v'choy, v'ayim ad shem nimoki miti v'nitzach tlatsu, v'hoyo ba'avu, כבודי ושמשיכו במקרא תצור, ושחרי שיחפי הולכו עד עוברי. ועשירי שי אסקפי ורואישו שחרירה יפונו לירו. And as I got said, that as Hashem will pass, and Moshe will be standing in the cleft of the rock, so then Moshe will be able to see the back of the Almighty, but his face he will not be able to see. What does that mean? How can we conceive of an Achirov and a Fonim in reference to God? In Lemailo, Leponim Veloyochir, Loyamin Veloysmoil, that's one of the Ikre Hadas. So the Yalkut Shimon, he says, that we wrote the expression Veroyisho es Achirai has reference to the historical events of the world when these are viewed retrospectively. Ufonai Leiro has reference to the events of the world as these are viewed through the perspective of the present. Now, as one tries to observe the march of providence through the sands of time, it is impossible to understand the purpose that God has in the unfolding of God's plan in the world. We are too close to the picture to be able to observe the beauty of the picture, to observe the individual lines of the picture. As one tries to look upon God, as God marches through the sands of time, if he wants to observe the face of God, to understand history through the perspective of the present, that's impossible. Lo yirol. It cannot be seen. But after many, many years, when providence has already completed a certain voyage through the sands of time, and when we look back, so then we can take notice of the footsteps of God in the sands of time. The Achoyroi you can see. Man is to make use of his collate intelligence in understanding the events of history. Schreier, you may say long. Binu shnois deyavadeya. But he should always realize that he can only understand the act of providence, he can only understand history after providence has unfolded itself. But while a certain plot is taking place before our eyes, then we cannot make use of collate intelligence in understanding history. Now, if you take, let's say, a history book dealing with the First World War, so then you'll find maybe 25 reasons as to why the World War I broke out. 25 reasons. And when you read through these reasons, they appear to be so convincing that you're bound to think, well, it couldn't happen any other way. It had to break out. He proves it. How? Various social reasons, economic reasons, cultural reasons. And the sum total of all these factors had to lead to the war, the First World War. Then, the same historian that was so intelligent by the application of collate intelligence to think of all these causes was not able before the Second World War to mention even 5 reasons as to why the Second World War will break out and when it will break out. But after the Second World War broke out, so you can already find that the historians conjured up various reasons as to why the Second World War had to break out. It had to break out. But where is the great intelligence? How is it that they can always discover all these causes after it happened, but not before it happened? Well, the reason is because the science, when they try to correlate one event with another, they only correlate the events that are before their noses. They do not correlate the events of today with the events of 2,000 years ago. They want to see the funai of God, and the funai of God cannot be seen. The achira of God, yes, but not the funai. Men have to realize that the potential in hearing, in the collective intelligence of men, is very great, but it is limited to the extent that he can only make application of the collective intelligence only after the plot has already been completed. But while it is before our eyes, then he cannot understand the purpose that God has in the unfolding of history. Now, then there is the effective category of intelligence. And that is the most important one. Because it is true that intelligence in all the three categories is a prerogative of men. But to a certain extent, even an animal has certain cognitive intelligence. Even an animal has certain collective intelligence. Of course, the intelligence of an animal, of the brightest animal, the brightest chimpanzee, will never be more than the intelligence of an average child of three. But even animals possess a certain degree of cognitive intelligence, of collective intelligence. But it is in the realm of effective intelligence that men reign supreme. An animal has no effective intelligence. No effective intelligence. It is true that the Chazal say, Il mole lenitno atero, ho yulimedin tzniyet michotel. But people make a mistake, maybe some rabbonim too, make a mistake in the interpretation of this Maimah Chazal. Now, this Maimah Chazal tends to indicate that we can derive a lesson from the cat, from the nemora, from the end. What Chazal means is that morality is not chas v'sholem, that morality, genuine morality, can be based upon an emulation of the demeanor of an ant or the demeanor of a cat. Now, the tragedy with men today is that men today, in applying effective intelligence, tries to emulate the animals. And consequently, men today denies the existence of absolute laws of morality. Because their morality, the morality of men today, is based upon the teachings of Rabbi Katz and Rabbi Ent. But Chazal means to say, on the contrary, that Il Moy is not hero. Sometimes men wonder, why did God have to give the Torah to the Jewish people? Why? After all, men, through his intelligence, can discover all the secrets of nature. Can through the application of effective intelligence, to discover all the laws of morality? And aren't even so-called rabbis, conservative rabbis, trying today to change the whole Torah so that it should fit the concepts of man? It should fit the convenience of man? Aren't there many rabbis today who say that it's all right to drive a car towards the synagogue because that will make life more convenient now that there are so many people living in the suburbia? So it's hard to walk such a distance to shul. So it is more conducive towards convenience and comfort if the laws of the Torah will be changed and molded to fit the whims and the caprices of every man. So they, in effect, are denying absolute laws of morality, and they are only trying to base everything upon the needs of man. They are, in fact, trying to base it upon an emulation of the chosel and the nemolo. This, so il mole le nitna teiro, if Hashem had not delivered the Torah to the Jewish people, there wouldn't be any civilization in the world. If there is any civilization in the world, it is only because Hashem delivered the Torah to the Jewish people. So indirectly, all of mankind was influenced. And indirectly, all of men were imbued with the fundamental concept of morality of the Torah. This is the reason as to why everyone understands that brotherly love is a fundamental concept. Because of the Torah. But if the Torah had not been given, and if it had been left over to the effective intelligence of men, so who would be our teacher? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nemoah and the cat would be our teacher. The dog would be our rabbi. There wouldn't be any concept of brotherly love. Today we speak of brotherly love, because the Torah was given to the Jewish people. But if the Torah had not been given, or you know, made him sneer mechot. I never tried to observe the sneers of the chosel, but I can imagine what kind of sneers it is. And the midays of Nimolo. You know, the Nimolo, they have a real totalitarian regime, the Nimolo, the end. Everything is controlled by the state. There's a whole book written by one of the scientists who devoted his whole life towards the study of the life of Nimolo. It's a totalitarian regime. Everything is controlled by the state. No one is allowed any freedom. That's the kind of morality that we would enjoy in Moralei Nitnot Haroth. A morality where Khrushchev would be the rabbi. We learn morals from the animals. Because in the realm of effective intelligence, man is more limited than any other realm. If the Torah had not been given, then men would remain a moral imbecile up to this day. So this is the concept of Torah Adumo. Namely, that in order that men should realize and assert his own image, then he must dedicate himself to the concept of Yitzhiro. Yitzhiro means formation. One's potential. And in order to assert one's potential, then men must realize that he can never really assert his potential. He can only aspire towards the realization of his potential. He'll always be a vatchaschei mu'at merayin. And how will he be, and how, what does vatchaschei mu'at merayin mean? That man will always remain short of his superior being. Short of his superior being in all the three realms. Short of his superior being in the realm of cognitive intelligence. Short of his superior being in the realm of collective intelligence, but especially short of his superior being in the realm of effective intelligence. In the realm of effective intelligence, men would remain an animal until this day if it hadn't been for the Torah. So in order to curb the arrogance of man, his presumptuousness, then he must realize that Zeus chukas ateiro, chukim shechakas lachem in lachem rishus ha'adam. All right, I would like to have at least 20 minutes. Yes, question. I didn't discuss that. Oh, because, well, I forgot to discuss it. Because, you see, Yitzias Mitzrayim, because Shabbos is is based upon the concept of creation, the integration of the concept of creation and formation. Now, Yetzias Mitzrayim gives vent to the concept that man is a free agent. God delivered the Jews out of Egypt. Why? Because if they are slaves, then they cannot assert themselves. Then they cannot assert their own identity. They cannot assert their own image. That's the concept of Yetzias. And Shabbos is dedicated primarily to the concept of Yetzias. Therefore, the Torah says, Al kein tifcho ad Hashem lasis Yetzias Shabbos. That the story is a melacha gua.
But still, it's a breaking up of the organization society.
So for this reason, Taisa says, in regard to Yetzias, that we require a special pasuk. That's to every kind of Yetzias. No, only Rabbi Yishai holds on it. Rabbi Yishai, but we pass him that it's one of the Amtet Melacha. But Yetzias requires a special pasuk as to every form of Yetzias. Why? Because actually Yetzias does not come within the pattern of Melacha. It doesn't involve any act of destruction. Only there is a... Yes, maybe. All right.